Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Oh, hey there, boys and girls. Welcome to Only Stupid Answers, the best damn podcast you can put your moist little ears into. DJ, what do we talk about on this show?
Oh my gosh, we talk about movies.
Yes.
We talk about TV shows.
Yes.
We talk about comics.
Yes.
We talk about video games.
Yes.
And pretty much anything else we like to talk about.
Yes, that includes Bigfoot.
Yeah.
UFOs.
Yes.
AI. Maybe dreams. We've been pitching
dreams.
A dream episode for the past 2 years.
Yeah.
Love dreams.
We'll get there eventually.
That'll be the finale. Get ready for that one.
That's always good.
We're going to record it next week, but it will be the finale.
Yeah,
we'll just
It'll
hold on to
dated.
That one. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
You guys are hearing a third voice coming down from the heavens.
Hello.
An angelic voice who's joining us for a very special episode of the episode. Mr. Austin Dodge, one
Hello.
For the eye.
That is true.
Austin, how are you doing?
Good. How are you guys?
Good.
Doing real nice. On this good little day.
Thank you. We are having a good day.
Mm-hmm.
It's Friday, the time of recording this. We just did our comic episode for the Patreon, which was a lot of fun.
Yes.
What have you been up to?
I've been goofing and chilling and making moves.
On Sundays, I believe you have a regular appointment over at Play Noggin's Twitch channel with your old pal Sam.
We do.
Yes.
We've got a little Play Noggin game night.
Yes.
A little play date.
Yeah, a little play date every Sunday night.
We
it's wholesome. It's good.
We used to do like trivia, and we might come back to that one day. Who knows?
Yeah, but it's game night.
It became more of a like an overall game night. And last week we had a freaking blast.
Seriously, though,
it was
wild.
We played putt putt. Not golf. It was.
I'm a little disappointed.
Trust me, it is. It's amazing.
This is a huge putt putt.
How would you just? What is putt putt for people who don't know?
Putt putt, just for the people that never got to enjoy a classic game. Putt putt is a wonderful little game in which you're a little purple car that's got to save things, whether it's the zoo or go to the moon or save the parade or other stuff.
They're children's educational games from the late '90s, early 2000s, and being revisited by adults. Now.
Yeah, and they're equally as fun now, but they take a couple days less time to finish. A couple actual days.
We beat the game. We started doing speed runs, and I think we got it down
like
to...
A minute 50,
we beat the whole game.
And that game used
really
to take
fun.
Me a week.
Yeah. Oh, that was a hard week.
It was tough.
That was trying. That really forged you into the man you are today.
It was a real puzzler, a real character.
Thanks, Putt-Putt.
But thank you, Putt-Putt.
That's 4:30 p.m. PST's twitch.tv/playnoggin. Same channel where we do on Thursdays 4 p.m.
What?
The Only Stupid Answer Show.
How long have we been doing that?
That's been 5 weeks now. So,
what?
Yes.
When?
I've been keeping 5 weeks ago.
Huh.
Until now. Count up and then divide it by,
Gotcha. There it is.
But if you guys, we've been doing, you guys should check out Austin and stuff because he also streams on Twitch.
I do.
And today's episode, we're talking about Twitch. And I'm very excited about that
because at least one of the boys at this table doesn't understand it that well.
Can you guess?
Okay, most of the world doesn't understand Twitch yet.
Hey,
and
cool.
That's fine.
I don't
that's
feel
totally
alone.
Fine.
And it's going to be fun. But if you guys don't know, Only Stupid Answers, you can find all the info that you'll ever need at onlystupidanswers.com. They've got announcements, they've got a newsletter, they got a merch link, they got everything you'll ever need, as well as places to listen to this podcast as well. You can listen to iTunes, Spotify, all the good ones. And also, we got some, we want to read some reviews later that you guys wrote on iTunes, which I'm very excited about. Yes, you guys, when you write reviews on iTunes,
I gotta do that.
That's how we get up higher in the charts,
more
people can find us and listen to us, and that's how we stay doing the thing that we love. God dang it. That's one of my favorite clickhole articles was like, ooh, breaking, we don't get any fucking money if you don't click on the links. so,
that's amazing.
And,
amazing and true.
That is true. Yeah, no money there.
I want a true shirt. I want
I
a true.
Too. I want a true little hat.
I want a true neon light that could switch to false if we wanted
be
to.
So
but
nice.
It's got to be big, bulking. We want it on the back wall.
Wait, hold on. So you're talking about a neon light that, depending on which light is on, it says true or false.
Also changes. Mm. Yeah.
Mm.
It's a quick. Cheap,
we do not have a budget for
easy.
That.
No, not us.
We'll make it ourselves.
Yeah,
DIY
we'll
neon signs.
What could go wrong?
Just get some tubes.
Just neon.
It's just tubes.
And electricity.
It's like the internet. It's just tubes.
It's just tubes.
Austin.
Yeah, hey.
For the kids at home that don't know who you are, tell them a little bit.
Well, hello, kids at home. My name is Austin Dodge. I've been on the internet for 10 years, I guess, now. I've been doing
the internet stuff since middle school. 15?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I'm 15 years old. I cannot believe I started at 5 on my iPod Touch, believe it or not.
Kids, if that you want to make it in this world, that's when you got to start them young.
It's true. I mean, it is true. I filmed my first videos on Daily Booth laptops. So I would bring my laptop around and put it on the porch and, like, tilt the laptop lid.
Yeah.
And, like, that was what making videos was back then. So, I've been online for about 10 years, did a lot of YouTube stuff, went to college, woohoo, did the job thing, and then said, you know what, I'm really enjoying Twitch a lot more and doing other things. So now we're doing full-time Twitch and stuff with Planon.
If you don't mind me asking, what'd you do in college? What was your...
I did film. Good old YouTuber film major. Right. Yeah. Make videos.
What was your job thing?
I worked in America's Funniest Videos for a while.
Nice. What did you do there?
Yeah, I did talent stuff. I hosted their online live content, and then I also ran their social media, Twitter, Instagram.
Is that show still on?
It is still on, and it's going to be on forever.
That was one of those that it's like, I thought went off there, and then you see it, like, I guess it's still on. And then 5 years later, it's like a different host. You're like, wait, is it still on?
It's not going anywhere.
That's crazy.
Who hosts it now?
It's good old Alfonso Ribeiro, otherwise known as Carlton from The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Really?
That makes me happy, actually.
He's a really nice guy.
Hold on. So when I was coming up, it was Funniest Home Videos hosted by Bob Saget from Full House.
Mm-hmm.
Still in family-friendly TV mode. You see the stuff outside of Full House, and that is a different dude.
Yes.
And then made you uncomfortable that he was working with children. Anyway, they had America's Funniest Animals.
True.
That was hosted by Uncle Joey.
From what?
From Full House.
Oh, I didn't watch Full House growing up.
You're good for you. I'm not going to... I was about to be like, wait. No, that's fine.
No, you're good, actually. That's fine. Yeah.
I know the Olsons were on it. They either played two people or one person. I'm not 100% sure.
Two sisters played one daughter.
Don't spoil it for
because
me.
Of, because of laws with how long kids can be on set.
Mm. 5 minutes.
Six minutes a day.
These are short scenes.
Well, that's cool. I'm bummed that you left a sweet, sweet gig at America's Funniest Home Videos.
Yeah, it was fun. It was a great little era, a nice little year and a half of my life, and now I'm living my dreams with my friends.
Even with the YouTubes? There's a YouTube channel. I wish I could remember the name. Somebody found a vault of rejected Funniest Home Videos.
Oh, really?
And they're edited in a way...
Memory Hole.
Yeah,
that's...
And they're put together in a way that they're mini nightmares.
Right, little VHS edits.
Yeah.
Like a minute and a half. That's actually an AFE property. Yeah.
Really?
Good for them.
Basically, there's a banned and restricted section. So all the videos that have been sent in since the beginning of the show live in a searchable file program that's similar to a Google where you can type in anything, whether it's T-ball, hitting the nuts, dad, or falling down the stairs, cat.
Yeah.
We have thousands and thousands of videos. There's over a million videos in that library. But there's a full restricted section. And one day they thought, what if we use this? And
such
that's
a great idea
because they have the rights to use them.
Yeah.
So. I've seen some crazy things in there that I've never seen the light of day.
It was like an adult man in a bathtub playing with action figures and stuff like that. And they're put together in a way that's like...
It's surreal. It's like Dadaism, America's Funniest Videos.
Yeah, it is. I'm glad that they use that because a buddy of mine spent a long weekend looking at those. It was an interesting little rabbit hole to fall down.
Memory Hole is a good name for it.
Yeah.
You do stumble down it and you're like, what? I don't know if this is good for me to be looking at this.
Yeah,
right
we got to show Sam some of these videos after we're recording.
They're fun.
I'm excited to hop into Twitch because you love it.
I love it.
You've taught every day you show up here, you always have like this cool like nugget of story. Yeah. And it's always weird. It's like, but why does this exist? And I'm excited to dive into it. But before we do that, let's give a shout out to some of the iTunes reviews. I'll take the first one because it's shorter and easy for me to read.
There you go. For those of you that don't know, you can go on iTunes and give us a 5-star review. If you've already done that, wait a few months and you can do it again.
Yes.
And it helps keep us up on those iTunes lists.
Yes, those charts.
Yeah.
The iCharts.
We have one here from Ben Bramson. Some things stay the same. The best part about this podcast is that despite how many episodes they've done and how many years it's been, Sam still continues to second guess if he's pronouncing words or phrases correctly. I should have read the other one. That was a good one.
Hey, listen, man, that's just real life for all of us.
That is.
Yeah. Daily.
If you think you're nailing it, I'll come follow you around.
And the
for
weird
a
thing,
day.
We just on our bonus episode, you questioned me on a word, and it's one I felt pretty confident about, and it's one of those moments where like,
yeah, someone today, before I came here, I was shooting somewhere else, and Amuse Bouche was in a quote, and I was like, I think it's like a buffet of things. Don't quote me.
And
on
then
any
the best one is when you look it up, you're like, you can pronounce it either way. It's like, well, that's not helpful.
Don't
do that. Yeah. Pick all one. Right. So this other one is by Lurocat. The most fun I've ever had listening to a podcast.
Thank you.
This is without a doubt my favorite podcast. Thank you. Both hosts have extremely relatable and infectious personalities. This podcast is also very topical and relevant to pop culture news. They're always on top of it. But the best thing about Only Stupid Answers is that you're just listening to two nerdy guys talk about nerdy stuff. 5 stars. I highly recommend it.
Thank you very much. All right.
5-star review.
I really thought I was going to get through that.
Nope.
And
it made me feel better about the comment from before. So how long have you been on Twitch, Austin?
I've been really streaming for about 2 years now.
Yeah.
Wow. Started off super casual, purely for the social aspect. I just graduated college, and I was like, hey, I want to make things online like I have my entire life growing up. And YouTube was a lot of fun for me and whatnot, but it really just wasn't. It was kind of growing and shifting and changing, and so was I. And then I found the live platform of Twitch. And that was kind of natural to me as I grew up on Blog TV Junior and Blog TV, and like I've been live streaming since I was in eighth grade.
Blog TV sounds vaguely familiar. What was the layout? TV, what did it look like?
It had a big old square box before videos were wide. It had a big old chat, and people would just hang out all day.
Interesting.
It was like the original YouNow.
YouNow
bought it out, if I'm not wrong.
My favorite thing about going to VidCon, it was like, oh, don't worry, coming up soon, the stars of YouNow, and I'm like, who in the world is a star of YouNow? Who are they?
And wild.
Whenever they come up, I'm like, oh, those are a few YouTubers, and then half the people, I'm like, I have no idea who this is.
Yeah.
You have that deal? Anyways, but yes, yeah, I'm familiar with, now I remember what
right.
that is. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So you start out with that, moved over to Twitch, and you do mainly gaming, right?
Yeah, I do gaming. I do IRL stuff where I go out into the real world and bring the camera and do goofy stuff, but most of the time it's gaming, because that part is exhausting, but it's so fun.
What are some of your favorite games right now?
Oh, man, I just played a game that came out this week called Donut County, which it's very similar to Katamari Roll. I don't know if you're familiar with it.
It's
a classic, but very similar game in which you're a hole in the ground, and you just eat stuff up like a bus bench. And then as you eat stuff, the hole gets bigger until you eventually just eat the whole world.
Nice.
And it's very relaxing and enjoyable. Other than that, I love like the classics, the Fortnites, they're fun.
I have Fortnite on my phone because I don't want to spend the money to get it on anything else.
It's free everywhere, by the way.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, yeah.
What about the Wii? I mean, no.
Sorry. On the Switch? I'm not on the Wii yet.
I'm trying to port it on my Wii.
It's coming to the Nintendo 64 soon as well.
Thank you. Finally, they're catering to me.
I wish, if I ever launched a game, I would totally do it, and you can get it on the N64 platform and the Super Nintendo.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, we need it.
There's no way we don't get to that point, right? Like, because they're now releasing cassettes again.
Yeah.
And they're modified. Some of them are just cassettes that you can put in, like a tape player and play it.
Mm-hmm.
But they also come with, like, flash drives sometimes where you can get the whole thing on a computer if you
digital
want
person.
To.
Digital
version. Yeah.
Yeah. But why wouldn't you do that with a... I could see the N64 cartridges coming back.
As full cartridge? Because
I imagine whole games, yeah.
It's a little more challenging to put something on a cartridge than it would be to make a cassette tape, I would imagine.
No, it's the same basis. You can just fit more technology now in that cartridge. Can the N64 play it? That's a more fun question.
Right.
And they might be able to fit it in there.
The thumb drive thing I think you could do. Outside, that I think would be...
Yeah.
It'd be cool.
Just make it look like a cartridge.
Exactly.
Call it a day.
Well, we got the Super Nintendo Classic system that's now basically a tiny hard drive. It looks like a smaller Super NES, but it's basically a small hard drive that has a bunch of old games on it.
It'd be cool if
and
they
the
had
controllers are the same.
They had the N64, but smaller. Like
no, I really want them. The Super Nintendo is cool, but I don't have nostalgia for that.
Yeah.
So like N64, GameCube, that shit I would be into.
GameCube would be so adorable.
Yeah.
I've been replaying GameCube games recently, and they're all treasures. We got Monkey Balls, Mario Parties, some real
Monkey
good ones.
Ball, you mentioned on the stream last week, and I was like, yeah,
so good.
What a weird game that's in my memory. Where it's if you thought about it, if it was a real world, the world tilts around you, and your character's in this ball rolling around. You need to move the entire world
so that it goes down
like a path, and you're like, that sounds like a hell of a
GameCube,
wild.
The only ones I can remember back on GameCube are Super Smash Brothers, and then one of my favorite games of all time, Resident Evil 4.
Nice.
Classic. Which is really weird to think about that's on the GameCube.
There's not a lot of shooter boys.
That's a grown's up one.
That was hurtful that you didn't. There's another big game that was on the GameCube.
There's a lot of big games on the YouTube.
But there's one specific one that you just skimmed over.
Mario Sunshine?
Mario Golf.
I didn't play it. I didn't play Mario Sunshine or Luigi's Mansion. I missed out.
Did you play Mario
Sunshine? I didn't
play
Mario Sunshine.
Oh, well, now I don't feel so left out.
It's one here. No. It's a shame. I'll get to it.
Mm-hmm. Might have to go home.
I'm just gonna have to step out real quick.
Can I take a breath?
Yeah.
No, I actually have. Someone sent me a Wii from who's one of the listeners did, and I purchased a used version of Mario Sunshine that I still haven't played yet. I really want to. I have no. I played the game before. I haven't played this used version, so I'm like, because I have a little fear of like it came in a clear like CD case, and I'm like. This might be garbage. It's not scratched, but I'm like, this might be trash.
Yeah.
But I'm excited to play it. And Luigi's Mansion actually scared me as a kid. And that would be a fun one to revisit.
That would be revisiting games that you played as a kid is always wild. Because you just realize new things that were always there.
There was still a really cool attention to detail, especially with GameCube games, that we just didn't know.
I want to do some time. I just don't have... a lot of free time for when it comes to this stuff. I want to explore stuff what's on virtual consoles.
Oh yeah,
the old games that you can now buy digitally for like $5.
Yeah,
and see if like I could probably get Resident Evil 4 again one of the systems I have.
Right.
You know what I mean? But I just haven't taken the time to like. Whatever.
I'm surprised so many GameCube games are actually most GameCube games aren't on the Nintendo's digital console for the Switch or the Wii or the Wii U.
Yeah.
That's three consoles that have been in between that. And
just makes sense.
And it came out in 2001, so we're almost to the 20-year mark of when that console came out, which is insane.
You know what GameCube game I didn't play and I wish I had? I think it was called Eternal Darkness.
I don't know what that is.
Where you're slowly the game mechanic, instead of your life, it's your sanity. Mm-hmm. And as things are happening or things jump out and things scare you start losing your sanity and then things become weirder and it starts doing stuff where like the game pretends like it's shut off and stuff like that.
Sweet.
And it's something everybody talked about it and loved it and they've wanted a sequel forever and I'm bummed that I never participated in that.
It's really nice.
It sounds like a mind fuck a little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stephen Walker said I didn't play Luigi's Mansion or Mario Sunshine until later in my years.
Ooh,
either.
At least you played it. All right. At least
we'll get there.
That matters to me. At least you did.
Yeah.
Luigi's Mansion and Mario Sunshine both have two parts that I've never been able to get past because I played them when I was younger. And then like, there's a level in Mario Sunshine. It's when you find out who the villain is. Like you actually like figure out like what it means to you.
Yeah.
And then after that, you have to like
it's
do
Bowser.
You have to use your like water jetpack that you have in the game to. Push a boat you're sitting in to like go through something, but you have to do all the controls backwards because you're pushing it, so you need to move forward.
Oof.
And for some reason, and if you hit too many things, you'll die. And I'm like, for some reason, this level lasted way too long. I never got past it. Replayed the game, got to that point, still didn't get past it. And Luigi's Mansion, when you find out where Mario is, it gets way harder, and I still can't figure out what to do with it.
Interesting. I would rent games from Blockbuster as a kid for my Genesis. Yeah, for my Genesis, and I would always end up renting games that I just didn't understand. Like
right. I'd
rent a Ghostbusters game, and I did the first level, and I clearly just didn't understand the mechanics and couldn't get past the first level.
That's always fun.
And also, those licensed games are almost always dog shit.
Yeah.
And you don't realize that as a kid.
No.
That's how they get you.
I loved what was it called? The Game Freak? No, that was...
Game Shark.
No. What was the part of the corner of Blockbuster that was games? It had its own
game name.
Ooh,
game
I'm going to have to Google that right now.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to know. Okay, so but you mentioned when you were talking about games, you mentioned IRL.
Yeah.
What is, we know the acronym, but what is that? What does that mean for Twitch?
So IRL is a really wild little section that just opened actually within like 2 years ago on Twitch. Previously, it was mostly all just gaming content. And then with the introduction of Pokemon Go, people realized, hey, I could play games and go outside. So people started using Pokemon Go as a way to play games. On Twitch, you were only allowed to play games. But
people
really just wanted to see people go outside and live life. So people would Pokemon Go, which eventually led to an IRL section because they realized it was inevitable. You can't really avoid it now. And IRL really is just live vlogging in which not only you get to watch someone live their life, you get to interact with them and chat with them as it's happening. For example, way long ago, when I first started IRL, one of my first streams I did was chat, lead me to a restaurant.
Yeah.
And I just showed them my cross streets and I said, take me to a Mexican restaurant. And via chat, they said left, right, forward. And I made it. And it was a great burrito.
Nice.
And it was a lot of fun.
You did that to a Korean barbecue place too, right?
Yes. Yeah. I went to that Korean barbecue all the time.
They knew you, which was
super
weird.
Wall.
It was because the restaurant's still new. It was in Koreatown, and it's really new, and it's a really nice restaurant.
It's great.
They were so nice. It was such a cool restaurant. You
got
lucky.
Yeah, I've always wanted to be a regular somewhere. And I walked in one day with a cowboy hat on streaming, and they just loved it. They were
all about it.
So
that's great.
They're great there.
Yeah. It's really interesting. It's an interesting way to use that platform. So how much of Twitch at this point is real life versus gaming, and how is that stuff shifting and growing?
We're definitely still in an era where gaming is king on Twitch.
Gotcha.
It's like 90 to 95% of the content still, which is fine because that's what the website has always been. But it's very exciting to see IRL grow and change over time. For example, they're implementing new changes soon, which is going to break up the IRL category into multiple categories, including just chatting, which is, you know, people sitting at their desks just talking to the chat. And then what I'm really excited about is there's going to be an outside section. So you can only stream in this category if you're outside in the real world.
And they'll know that, or you'll just kind of get
you
dinged.
Choose it. When you choose like which game you're playing, you choose outside.
I'm playing
outside.
The most exciting game.
So
and now here's a section paying my bills.
It's
just me. This is the game of life.
Hey, don't knock bills. It could be.
It's
could
true.
Be really good.
Yeah. It could be fun. People do stock trading on Twitch Live.
Like, interesting.
There was actually
this is
a
my
Twitch
social.
Channel.
Here are my credit cards. Where are you guys?
Well, that's real. That actually happened. There was an interactive channel similar to Twitch Plays Pokemon where a guy put, I think, $20,000 into a stock fund, mm-hmm. and you could vote via chat during the stock being the market being opened what you wanted to buy. And whatever chat voted on buying, they legitimately bought those stocks. And you got to see how your portfolio went over time. Guy lost it all.
Yeah. So maybe that wasn't the best idea.
But it was pretty funny.
It was a fun bit.
Maggie in the chat actually talking about most in-depth game story we ever played first. She mentioned Super Mario Galaxy. That is primo. That's a great game that you played. And the Wii, that's the highlight for the Wii. It was one of their best games. Anyways, but okay, so you mentioned playing with someone just throwing their money in the damn fire. What else? What are some of the other weird stories? Because I asked our Discord and our Patreon some of the craziest things they've seen on Twitch or some of the things they love the most.
Right.
So, and you've come in and just told me the most insane stories of I don't know why anyone would do this. But what's a recent story, one of your favorite crazy stories from IRL Twitch?
There's so much that happens all the dang time. And the thing about Twitch is it's tough because it's not like a lot of the time you don't get these short like 30-second sound bites to just like show to someone. You have to experience like the whole stream, which is so much content to consume.
Yeah, it's like hours.
It is actually hours. But fortunately, there's also a huge community on YouTube that takes streamer content and re-edits it for them as if it was a documentary. Nice. Then you get these like 10-minute cutdowns, which pretty cool. A lot of these people end up getting hired by the people that run the content, and they end up just making their channel.
It's crazy how
happen for them.
How quickly stuff grows and evolves, like. You know, things move fast when I was younger, and now it moves even faster about how these things grow and change and all that stuff.
Right. Yeah, but interesting stuff that's been happening recently. There was a boxing event recently. It was the exact same day as the YouTube event, and the idea was let's clickbait as many people as possible and see how big we can do numbers-wise. And it was the second time they've done this boxing event, and what it is basically is it's all actual live streamers who participate in it. Yeah. And if you have a beef with a live streamer, you take it out in the ring, and then they squash that beef that day, and they shake hands and move on. And that was a thing that happened recently, the same exact time as the big match with Logan Paul.
Are these real beefs or manufactured beefs like the Logan Paul KSI?
That's the crazy part is there's the big meme when people spam scripted in the chat where you can't tell at this point sometimes when things are scripted and when they're not. Additionally, there are cases when the streamer doesn't know that things are scripted and their friends will set things up for them.
Gotcha.
Which is a whole world.
Yeah. T-Walker 500 in Discord. Hey, he's watching live as well. He wrote down in the Discord, I've solidly been on Twitch for a little over 2 years, and honestly, my favorite thing about it has been the people. Every now and then you get a few trolls, but for the most part, users are genuine and can offer some pretty sound advice at times. That's amazing. That's really cool.
I think that really boils it down as to why I love Twitch so much is I grew up on YouTube back when the channel comment section was very alive and well, and you could just go to people's channels and say, hey, what's up? I like your videos. And people would reply to each other, and Twitch is still at a point where it is small game 2010 YouTube where you can know every creator on the website and actively talk to them.
Which is amazing.
Which is crazy.
Except for Ninja.
Which is crazy.
We all hear about.
Yeah,
but we don't really care. I don't really care because I don't know who he is.
He's a fun boy.
Drake and him played Fortnite.
They did.
They sure
absolutely did.
Or was it
which
really
is weird. It's weird because you're so close to Drake and yet you're not close to Ninja at all.
Isn't it weird?
Pretty wild. Yeah.
It's a just how crazy how paths cross that way. So can you tell me a little bit? Actually, I would like you to explain to DJ. There's a gentleman on Twitch that you sent me. You showed me a video of him having an altercation with some people in traffic. Who is, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, we talk about a good old Hampton Brandon.
Hampton Brandon.
He's fun because he's not even on Twitch anymore because Twitch banned him. But that happens. So just real quick, backstory on how live streaming IRL works. Twitch is very safe and they have a very clear set of rules that they follow.
Good.
So if you do something a little too wild, you're kicked off the website. So what happens then is your Twitch channel then just moves to YouTube and you start being a YouTube live streamer, where YouTube live streaming actually has like no rules. You can do anything you want.
Gross.
If you get banned today, and then you're back tomorrow, and that's actually it. So this streamer, Hampton Brandon, was a Twitch streamer who met potentially the most popular live streamer, Ice Poseidon, on the street in a chance interaction while Ice Poseidon was streaming. They end up getting in a little scuffle where they were doing like your mom jokes at each other, and then Hampton Brandon took it seriously, wanted to fight this guy. And then he realized, wait, there's money in live streaming, and started live streaming himself. So his content primarily leads to walking down Hollywood Boulevard, getting in fights, harassing people. Pretty questionable, bad dude. He's been to jail multiple times. Recently, a bounty hunter found him during a live stream.
A real bounty hunter.
This guy has warrants out. A real bounty hunter found him on live stream. We got to watch him get cuffed, get put back in the car, and he's yelling out branding. He's yelling 10 toes down, and his social media is in the back seat of a cop car. We've seen him get hit by a car.
I remember seeing that. That was no joke.
And I watched him throw up live on his birthday.
He was full on hit by a car.
Hit by a car.
On Hollywood Boulevard.
Yeah.
In front of basically the Chinese theater. It's insane.
Actual madness.
There's so many cops there. How did that happen?
This guy transcends reality television. For example, he owed another streamer money at one point. So recently, he just pulled up to his house on live stream and with five dudes and just knocked on his window, said, come outside. And the other guy's streaming in his room as well. So we now have two angles of this altercation where someone's trying to fight. And we get to watch both of them at the same time.
Did he go outside?
No. It was him versus five dudes.
Yeah, good.
He was like, I'm not like, what, you're going to kick my ass?
I would have called the cops. Outside. You kidding me?
Yeah.
So is he in jail right now?
He's currently out of jail. He did a first day out of jail stream last month where he made a lot of money.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's wild. It's one of those things where it's like, I can't look away. I don't want to like support some of the stuff he's doing for sure, but I can't look away. It's reality television. But we had to talk about it though
because it is real.
But it's real. It's not scripted.
It's like it's scripted minimal. In the sense of he has an idea and he knows if I antagonize a person long enough, they'll come at me. Like when he gets hit by the car, he's antagonizing people who are like working on the street,
just hanging out.
Just hanging out. And then I think the way you described it to me or in the video, like he's maybe saying slurs. You don't quote me on that one.
He does.
Oh, good.
All the time.
Great. Fantastic. Oh, yeah. So, and then the people who were working, like they like fold up a chair and they like go after him.
Big old stool.
And classic. He gets hit by the car, and then the guy still comes after him.
And then he yells branding. He yells 10 toes down, which is like his thing.
God damn it.
He gets hit by a car and yells social media branding. That's 2018, baby.
Wasn't hit hard enough.
That's crazy. Yeah.
It's sad.
But going back to like the scripted thing, there are scenarios in which there is scripting, and the chat finds out about it because the internet is, you know, a whole group of detectives. For example, a streamer named Ice Poseidon, he was just streaming regularly, and all of a sudden his girlfriend came in the room and her car was stolen. Now, he didn't know that this was fake. And his manager, who is known as Scuffed Steve Jobs, internet chat pretty much names you. When you appear on stream, the chat names you, and that's your name forever.
Okay.
He looks like Steve Jobs.
Okay.
He looks exactly like Steve Jobs.
spoiler alert.
That's
it. He is Steve Jobs.
Yeah, exactly.
In hiding.
But he set up this whole storyline for content where his girlfriend's car got stolen and a cop came and they're doing an official report. At one point, Ice goes up to the cop, and we get a clear view of this cop. And they tell him to go away, like, don't be near the cops and whatnot. Yeah. The internet eventually runs, like, a search on this cop, finds out he's a paid actor.
Oh, jeez.
For an actual, like, police force acting thing online where you can just hire an actor. Ice doesn't believe that it's an actor, goes to the police station, shows them a picture saying, like, prove to my chat this is a real police officer because no one believes me. And they go, we have no idea who this guy is.
And then they arrested Ice.
And that was it. And he had to realize live that his friends had set up a fake thing.
to boost his
for content.
No. Yeah, what a nightmare.
So it's like the Truman Show.
Yeah,
that is so wild.
People who got caught streaming were two people who were like. They faked having to be evacuated from the California fires. And, like, whoa. When they go outside, it's a couple, and they were pretending that, like, oh, do you smell smoke? It's like, yeah, it smells like 15,000 cigarettes lit at the same time. It's like, I'm exaggerating, but those are, like, right. the lines they say. Yeah. And they got in the car, and they never showed anything, nothing. They didn't get evacuated. They weren't even living anywhere near there.
Right.
And they got caught immediately. They're like, no, we can see the evacuation zones. Like, right. you clearly are not in a town that's being evacuated.
I wish
evacuated,
there's a way that you could really, like... Oh no, we gotta get out of here. And you get outside, and it's basically not World's End, the Seth Rogen one.
This is the end.
This is the end. Where yeah. it's like a giant big dick devil walking through. Oh no,
we're being evacuated.
Yeah. Oh no, it's so bad.
Great.
Speaking of scripted, real quick, I want to talk about a new show Sam and I are doing.
Good segue.
Over at patreon.com/hardtosaygoodbye. One of my favorite shows, probably ever, is Game of Thrones, and it is ending soon. We still don't have an end date.
2019.
And so to kind of prepare for that, we wanted to rewatch the previous seasons before the final season, and we thought that you guys might want to join with us on that.
Uh-huh. And not just that, our best friend and your friend, Trisha Hershberger, is also mm-hmm. joining us. So for $1, if you go over to patreon.com/hardtosaygoodbye, $1 a month, you get unlimited content. That's early access to episodes.
Yes.
That's bonus episodes where Trisha compares big scenes in Game of Thrones to the novels and sees where things have changed.
We started speculating about what's going to come in season 8.
Which is amazing. That was a really fun one to do as well. I actually had to start thinking. I'm like, with like millions of White Walkers showing up, like, what do you actually do?
Yeah.
And that was actually a really fun conversation that I want to start with you guys. But also, we're watching those episodes live, and you can join us live or just watch our rewatches, which
yes.
is really cool. We're kicking that off very soon. So check out patreon.com/hardtosaygoodbye. Let us know what you think. And $1 gets you all that stuff. Check it out.
Yeah, and so the podcast is going to be hitting a listening platform near you soon, but we will not be able to continue the show without your guys' support. It's its own show with its own needs, and you guys have been so supportive of this podcast, Only Stupid Answers. We'll hope you'll jump on that one as well, and maybe tell your friends. Maybe if you're not a huge Game of Thrones fan, but you know one, maybe your friends can become a fan of that.
Yes, please, and thank you. Now, back to the show. We're talking about some of the weirder negative things. Actually, I have some fun stories I want to read too.
Yeah, I don't want to skip the positive aspects of Twitch. The real wholesome moments.
Let's pivot a little bit. What are some of the more wholesome things that you've seen? Oh my goodness. We'll come back to that.
I remember you told me one
about like someone's marriage falling apart live on air.
Oh, that's a thing. Yeah.
I don't know if that's wholesome. They're
live
right now.
They've been live for over a month straight. They take turns.
I misunderstood what I thought you said. They're alive right now.
They're alive.
Okay.
Sorry, but that we'll come back to
that's
that.
That's a whole thing.
And we definitely need to mention it before the end, so remind me. But let's talk about the positive aspects of Twitch, because I know you wouldn't be staying there if it was fully toxic.
Oh, no. Yeah. I think that's why I love it.
It wouldn't be as popular,
I think the reason why I love Twitch is it does allow for really like wholesome, nice moments.
Yeah.
And I think there's a lot of really wholesome, sweet channels out there that a lot of the time do get less views because at the end of the day drama does pull numbers, but we cannot skip those great creators. There's a man who is a retired man in Florida.
Nice.
Good old Orlando, Florida. He's like 80. His name's Bernie. Mm-hmm. And he'll play any song for you on the piano for $2.
Nice.
And his wife runs chat.
Aww.
And you can just hang out. When I used to work at America's Funniest Videos, I would just leave him on my monitor and I just get music from an 80-year-old man who knew my name and remembered when I came in the room.
Aww.
And that's great.
That's special. That's really special.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Stephen Walker in the chat says the creative section of Twitch is really cool as well. People stream music playing as well.
Yeah.
One of my favorites is Jim Lee. He's a prolific comic
Maggie
book.
Whitmer mentioned it in the thing that artists do art.
The creative section.
Yeah, live draws. But Jim
Love
Lee,
it.
He was one of the founders of Image Comics. I'll show you some of his art. If you see it, you'll be like, everyone has seen Jim Lee's art before.
Everybody owns that X-Men #1 that he did the art of.
You'll recognize it quick, but he will do live draws of basically anything, and he does it weekly, sometimes even more frequent than
that. That's the move.
And even though, while he might be slower at drawing things for actual work sometimes, he does finish a piece throughout the stream, and it's just so cool seeing someone who's shaped the comics industry and even the movies that we all see having such a big hand in that. Now he's the head of DC Comics Entertainment, like their chief creative officer. So seeing him do that, it's just kind of inspiring. So I know that there's music sections, like you were saying, but on YouTube, I've definitely started listening to those lo-fi
hip hop.
Oh, that's what it is. I've definitely been singing.
Deserves a Grammy. Yeah. Deserves a Grammy.
Yeah. Hell yeah! At least a nom. Yeah, at least a nod. Please. If you're not familiar, how would you describe that?
The lo-fi 24/7 section. It's literally lo-fi hip hop for 24 hours a day with a anime girl studying all day.
It's
live right now.
She's working hard.
I just want to know what is she studying?
Yeah.
It's been a year.
Yeah, what test is coming up? Cat. Yeah. She's drawing that.
There's a little cat on the windowsill.
Have you seen that?
Yeah. I've seen it on YouTube. I've seen like clips of it on YouTube.
It's looped beats, and it's just a GIF that's just repeating over and over again.
Additionally, just a fun fact, there's a version of it that's a 24-hour version with Waluigi. So it's Waluigi studying, and it's the same lo-fi hip-hop. Every couple minutes you hear, wah! It's the same exact thing, but with Waluigi.
That deserves a Grammy more than
really
the other one.
Really good.
Really it's solid. Good. If you really want your music to have more Waluigi,
that's where it's
check
at.
That out.
Yeah. So, Austin, if somebody wanted to like dip their toe in the Twitch world, they don't know anything about it. What's your like guide into entering into the Twitch realm?
Twitch, and it's the biggest complaint by everybody, is the discoverability is very difficult. Finding people that you really can connect to can be a difficult thing, but once you do find them, you can form real relationships. I think one of the best ways to find, if you're looking for popular content that everybody's watching that you can talk about and discuss with other Twitch people, the Reddit live stream fail is one of the best ways to see what's going on across the entire board. It's basically the weekly review of what's happening on this website. And if you want to just be informed, you can see like who shows up every week, who's doing weird stuff. Additionally, like I said, a lot of YouTubers will take these 8-hour streams and cut them into 3 minutes. You can find those, and that's one of the easiest ways to keep up.
We were having a conversation with some of the Life Noggin people. It was just like about how YouTube, it has all of its problems, and those problems should be addressed, but it is easier to find things that you probably like. It is better at recommending things.
Absolutely.
Then a lot of platforms out there, minus Netflix, which have like they put billions into figuring that out. Which basically a brain that's sorting it for you. But no. And so YouTube usually does a better job. But no, that's cool that Twitch has sections like that. And I feel like if you go through games that you think will be slightly interesting, just start clicking around, you probably find something, right?
Yeah. Additionally, I think the biggest tip for me, like, and the best people I've met is just go to that IRL section if you're trying to have a conversation with a streamer. Scroll to the very bottom. Look for someone with 5 viewers, 6 viewers. They will be so excited you're in the room. They are genuinely thrilled that you're there. And it's great. My roommate Enrique and I, we were doing exactly that. We scrolled to the very bottom, found a dude doing a test stream, and we eventually met him 2 days later and went to his house and hung out and did a stream at his house.
Really?
He's a podcaster.
He
was just doing a test stream, and he's like, hey, what are you guys up to?
Nice.
Like, you want to hang out? And then we hung out 2 days later.
That's super cool.
Yeah,
that's crazy.
I think that's really why I love Twitch, is these online relationships can turn into IRL.
It's wild. Actually, we have another positive story, or a crazy experience that I'd like to read. It looks like it's positive. I have not read it.
Uh-oh, we'll find out together.
So here we go. It's from T-Walker, who's watching live as well.
Yeah.
The craziest thing I've experienced on Twitch is 100% Stream On. Stream On was a game show that took place in spring of 2018
in which
14 contestants competed in various game-related and non-gaming-related weekly challenges in order to win $5,000 per month for a full year. The challenges were nuts, ranging from training someone in your Twitch community to win a Gang Beast tournament, which is a really fun game, to selling more virtual fanny packs than the other contestants, to finding the location of a single pixel on a 10,000 pixel grid in the least amount of average time, even containing a week where the competitors worked together to raise money for St. Jude's. That's really
cool. Let's go.
It was honestly an insane 3 months, and I'm very happy and proud to have been able to participate in it, especially considering that the main streamer I support on the platform, Wavy, ended up winning the whole thing. Hashtag Twitch Game Kelly Clarkson. Twitch Game Kelly Clarkson. Okay, I get it. Yeah. From what I've heard, Twitch is hoping to have another season of Stream On in the future, so fingers crossed. I would like to be a part of that. That sounds freaking rad.
That sounds amazing.
Something that just promotes positivity like that and it helps St. Jude's, I'm
oh, charity streams are a real big thing. There's a thing twice a year, I'm pretty sure it's twice a year, but Games Done Quick, where people just do speed runs for an entire week of content, and they'll just raise hundreds of thousands to millions of dollars.
Crazy.
For charity, which is sweet. There's a lot of charity opportunities out there.
Courtney, or CD Clyde, if
you know. Oh, yeah. Good old Courtney.
Yeah, watching live on the Twitch, but in our Discord, she says, I've never been too good at keeping in touch with people online, but Twitch has made me better at that. I have a friend I've met on here, and we've been really close for almost 2 years, which is dope.
Very cool.
That is dope, Courtney. No, there's a lot of positivity that's come from it. And also, us dipping our toe in Twitch has been very scary, but sitting down with, like, Sam Dar, and she explained Discord for me. That's the reason why we have a Discord now, is because we wanted to go into Twitch, and Discord has been probably the coolest thing we've been able to add to our Patreon. Yeah, it's so cool because it's just active conversations whenever you want. And if you guys don't want to talk about this topic right now, cool, we'll go to somewhere else and talk.
Yeah.
Yeah, and like you guys suggest, like our audience actually created a comic book club where they recommend a book and everyone reads it, and
that's
then we
awesome.
Talk about it. And also they picked my favorite book of all time, so they read that first.
That's what it's all about.
Extra special about that. So that's been really cool.
I see how it is over there.
It's really cool.
I see how y'all do.
And also it's been really cool like that we can create emotes for Twitch and like the way we are able to use bits and bit bars for game night. We've been able to and having people this is for me, like since I've been able to do it for a couple months with you and with the team here, it's helped me become more comfortable with myself and talking with people, because you can kind of just it helps me get relaxed quicker, which is really nice. And I have been like trying to dip my toes into more live content to try to watch it. Again, we work constantly, so it's hard to like really watch a 7-hour stream, but having something on in the background like that is really nice. And it's cool that you guys have been into what we've been creating so far. It's been very flattering.
4 p.m. Thursdays at twitch.tv/playnaga.
That's the only stupid answer show, but you want to try some game night? 4:30 p.m. PST. Sundays. And on Life Noggin for a while, you guys, or Play Noggin, you guys were doing the Squirrel Cam.
Squirrel
Cam
is
fire. Who weren't aware of what that was. What was it?
Real quick, Squirrel Cam is a passion project. I love Squirrel Cam. I've always wanted to do something like this, and I'm so grateful that we had the opportunity to do so. Here at the Life Noggin Play Noggin Studios here, we got a little bird feeder that the squirrels turn out, they love it. They absolutely love the bird feeder snacks. So I thought with the team, what if we just set up a webcam and left it on? It's nature. It's just watching nature. It's something you could throw on in the background with some casual music and enjoy. So basically we had a 24-hour squirrel cam in which you would just watch squirrels come up to this feeder and eat. And just like nature, it was slow. There was a lot of not action. But when the squirrel did show up, boy, oh boy, everyone went crazy in the
chat.
It's
like the goddamn finale of Avengers Infinity War. It's insane.
It
just,
it was
blew
nuts.
People's minds.
Yes. No one saw it coming.
The chat would be empty. You see a squirrel, it'd just be tons of people.
200,000 concurrent viewers.
Yeah, almost a million at one point. Yeah.
Wow.
Huge content. Yeah.
We promise. Don't look, we promise. Rounding out here, because we want to actually do a very fun segment called What We're Into, but Austin, this has been a pleasure. What's one other thing that you really love about Twitch that you want to share with the listeners out there?
I got reminded by a thing that Twitch did recently by hearing that story from T-Walker. There's so much opportunity on Twitch. Right now, live streaming is just an open canvas for whatever you want to make it. And I think it's so insanely interactive that we still don't know the potential of what it can be. For example, the thing that happened for one season and got canceled because it didn't get enough views, but was a brilliant idea. There was a Twitch football team at a point. I don't know if people know about this.
Nice.
There was a Twitch football team where they had their Twitter @s on their back.
Yeah.
And just like a game of Madden, in the chat, you voted 1, 2, or 3. You had 3 plays. Whatever the chat chose, they did. Against a real football team at a real football field with real announcers. So you got to be the coach of a football team live.
Did it end up being pretty good? Or?
It was fun to watch for the 100 people that were there.
That's amazing.
Wow.
And it got canceled. And I'm just really hoping eventually we can get projects like that more of an audience, because there's so many interesting things happening on this platform. We just need the people to trickle on in.
Yes.
And once it does get bigger, boy, oh boy, there's going to be some crazy things happening on this website. And I think what's exciting now is it's only going up. It's only going to get more and more interesting. So buckle up and get into the website now while it's still fresh.
Yes, it's always special when you get to be on the ground floor when it comes to something like this. Mm-hmm. Julie Layden in the chat mentioned one of her streamers that she loves is 8-Bit Dylan. He's one of favorite and plays a variety of stuff,
heck
which
yeah.
is really cool.
Super
I think cool. I want to get into artists on Twitch.
Yeah.
Because I know Beth B. Rad is a very popular artist on Twitch, and mm-hmm. I actually got to shoot with her when I was at Comic-Con, and her style is great, and she has this like great bubbly personality, and I think I want to try checking out her stream more, and maybe it'd be fun to have her on the show too, because
absolutely.
Having more creative people on here would be a blast.
Yeah, I've made friends with a Glassblower
nice.
On Twitch now, and
super
I have a
cool.
necklace made by him.
Really?
It's wild.
That's
nice.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
I watched him make it, mm-hmm. and he sent it to my house.
That's so
that's
cool.
It. Yeah.
Did you like pay for it, or was it just a gift?
It was a gift. Yeah. I pulled up to his stream, and I did a thing called a host, in which you take your channel and you share your viewers with them. When you're finishing your stream, you just throw your chat into someone else's. We've been hosting each other back and forth. We eventually became friends. He made a necklace live on stream and gave it away. He made two, one for me and one for someone in my chat. I stitched a hat and gave it away to someone in his chat.
Nice.
So we made things for each other, and then it was like a little gift swap.
That's so cool.
Super cool.
Yeah, and that's what it's all about.
That's amazing. I like that positivity, and it'd be cool to discover more.
Yeah.
Twitch, maybe get on that and make it easier to promote like really cool creative people like
it's
that. Or people
good.
Who are genuinely positive. Stream On, though, sounds
yeah.
rad as hell.
Sounds so good.
And it'd be cool if we could get involved in some way if that happens again.
Definitely.
Now, before we jump into what we're into, if you would like to get yourself your own little gift
nice.
For back to school, Sam, mm-hmm. don't we've got a sale going on?
If you click the link down below, it's for teespring.onlystupidanswers. But if that specific link opens up a discount, there's a back to school discount. You can grab yourself a shirt. There's mugs. There's flags, hoodies, zip-ups, and pullovers, and crew necks, and there's female and male cuts for tank tops and shirts, and like the list goes on
everything.
And on and on.
Yeah.
So make sure you grab one of those before it's over, because it is ending soon.
Yep.
And don't miss out.
That link will be on our podcast wherever you listen, in the description. Also, I'm assuming it's on our videos as well on the
yes.
YouTube channel. And there's probably something to it at onlystupidanswers.com.
Probably. Hopefully,
yeah.
some there.
Let's hope so.
So check it out
Give
and don't
it
miss
a
out.
Look-see. But now we're going to jump into what we're into this week, where we talk about something that we're into.
Yeah. What have we been able to dip our toes into
yeah.
and talk about? DJ, what are you into this
yeah,
week?
Yeah, I'll kick us off. I've been checking out Audible, right? I've been listening to some books. I've been trying to do that better because you all know we've been in traffic. We're in traffic a lot in this town.
Traffic,
you know what I mean?
Traffic.
And I enjoy radio, but I wanted to switch things up. And so I did the whole free trial on Audible, and I used the credit you get to get Stephen King's The Stand. Because I wanted to try a little bit of Stephen King, and I figured this is one I'm in chapter because – it's not little chapters. They divide everything into chapters. So segments. There's 144 segments.
Nice.
And I'm about 10 segments deep. So this is going to last me a minute.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I've been really, shockingly, Stephen King is a talented writer.
Turns
Who
out.
Knew?
Who knew?
I understood The Stand as a post-apocalyptic thriller, basically. What I did not know was that it starts off as a pre-apocalyptic thriller, basically detailing how things got to be so bad, and starting with all these characters in their day-to-day life. And he has a foreword where he describes that this is a re-released edition that added another 400 pages that were originally cut. And he's kind of explaining, like, hey, I wouldn't have done this if Stephen King in the foreword writes, I would have done this if people didn't keep asking for it, and if I didn't honestly think it benefited the book. He's like, I know some people think a lot of my books are too damn long, and this doesn't help that at all.
No,
but,
right.
but
I think it's his longest book.
Yeah, but is but in a yeah. car, but in a car, listening to it, it's interesting to just get these windows into these people's lives and the detail that's used to describe where they are and what they're up to. And what interests me most is how it describes how the virus spread, because it's so mundane. The chapter I'm in right now is kind of like as it's spreading, and it's written in such a casual way because everybody's treating it casual because they don't know they're infected.
Mm-hmm.
Like a cop has it and he's just stopping people, and he gives it to a guy that's an insurance salesman, and that guy talks to people who talks to people, and then somebody at a diner gets it, and
whoops.
Everybody's just going about their lives not realizing that the world's ending there. And it's a very interesting, fascinating, gripping way to pull you in, and it's proven to be a really cool way to spend my time on the road. It makes that time feel productive.
Nice.
In a way that it doesn't ever.
That's true.
In a way, it feels so frustrating because it feels like you're just losing time, and this makes it feel like I'm actually accomplishing something during it.
Oh, I suggested many podcasts. You're like, I don't know how to.
And now I'm listening
to
one of the best. Yeah, one of the best novels in the.
Well, I have a recommendation here that's a podcast that is one of the best podcasts ever made. My Dad Wrote a Porno is back for season 4.
Sam's never spoken about this before.
Friend of the show, Jamie Morton's new podcast, season's back. And it's amazing because there's a mystery now. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah.
The final chapter of last season, there's a mole. There's a secret agent in steel spots and pans in a what is it? It's not cutlery. It's a dishware. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. In a dishware company, it's East Germany versus the West, but it is modern day. So that doesn't make there's no East Germany. So and like there's like it's still written exactly the same as before. So poorly, but it's hilarious, and I've laughed. It's such genuine laughter that I sometimes have to pull over because I can't control myself. Like it's like my eyes aren't opening. I have to pull over. I'm like crying so hard.
That's the best.
So if you guys want to play catch up, I re-listened to season 3 because it's so funny and it's so heartwarming. Also, I have to give a shout out to Jamie because he's a friend of the show. He's been on the show before, and they have a live show which I had the pleasure of watching in February, which got picked up by HBO, and they're streaming it on HBO either later this year or beginning of 2019. Ooh. How freaking cool is that?
Congratulations to them.
That's amazing, and it's so weird and so cool. Proud of you. Go show them some love. Their audience is enormous, but hey, let's go show them some love. Let's come out in fleets or whatever people say.
Big numbers.
Austin, what are you into this week?
I grew up loving magic. I love magic.
Classic.
Stage magic. Yeah, the classic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I grew up watching like those David Blaine specials and those cool magic specials. And we're finally at an era where we got a magic special on Netflix.
Yeah.
Magic for Humans.
Yeah. My really wife was watching a little bit of this. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I loved the David Blaine street magic specials back in the day. And then we had the Criss Angel Revolution, late 2000s. And
Mind Freak.
I feel like we don't get enough magic specials. Yeah. I love magic. And this one's really fun. There's a lot of really great moments where the best moments are when he's doing magic for kids because their faces just drop. There's one moment where he does a magic trick for a kid and the kid just starts crying because he's so bewildered by what just disappeared. And it's magical.
That's great. So before I came along, my dad paid his way through college doing table magic.
Oh, that's the move.
Yeah. So he was also going to get a gig as a magician at Busch Gardens for a minute, but he decided to be a family man instead, which worked out for me. So we grew up with a lot of that same stuff. Really, really into that.
What
so
is the
cool.
difference between table magic and close up magic?
So same thing.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's table magic, but the difference in this situation was it was at a restaurant and he would come to your table and perform magic for you while you were having dinner. So that's it. But it is close-up magic.
He's like, check this out, here's all your rolls and your entrees gone.
Check your wallet.
Check
your wallet.
No more money.
I was like, full dinner roll in there. How did you fold it up in here?
Magic. But yeah, so watching all those specials and all that stuff it's really cool. It's a really exciting to see people be able to pull it off in a cool and engaging way.
Maggie Whitmer writes that she was totally into Mind Freak for a summer. It was a dark time.
Aren't we all? He was over the pyramid.
Yes, he made an elephant disappear, fly or something.
See,
he took off.
Bye.
What is one of your favorite tricks so far on Magic for Humans?
It's crazy because there's one trick. It's the first trick on season 1, episode 1. He takes someone's phone, attaches it to some balloons and lets it go, and the people are like,
gives them the double birds and the backflips out of there,
and he's like, you don't have your phone now, you're smarter. Gotcha. And they're like Matt, their phone's going
100%.
He goes, don't worry, I backed it up. And he takes off his shirt and taped to his back is their phone, and you're just like, I don't know. I don't know how he did it. No clue.
I do want to check it out. I still haven't finished Queer Eye, and I know that's awful because I wouldn't shut up about it for months, and I will never shut up about it because it's a wonderful show. I need to watch it. Julie Layden recommended Jane the Virgin. They're watching it this week. Can't stop binging it. I'm in love with it. I know people My father loves Jane the Virgin.
There you go.
A lot.
That's where it's at.
That's where it's at.
Oh, yeah.
But you guys let us know, what is one of your favorite attributes of Twitch? What's one of your favorite little sections or sub-communities that we don't know about, mm-hmm. that we should know about? Yeah. But most importantly, check out twitch.tv/ Austin Dodge,
one for the eye. That is true.
It's fun to say.
It is fun.
And make sure you subscribe and check out Sundays, 4:30 p.m. PST for Play Noggin Game Night.
Yeah.
And make sure you check out Thursdays, 4 p.m. for the Only Stupid Answer Show. Same place. Austin, you want to plug anything?
Yeah, I stream on Twitch almost every day.
Nice.
So come say hi. I'll say hi back. We can talk. What do you want to talk about? Let's talk.
Tip your hat. Say hello.
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 Yeah.
You can also follow our boy, Sam Basher, at Sam Basher.
Oh, thank you. And follow our other boy, the third boy, DJ, at DJ Talks Trash.
Everywhere that matters.
Everywhere that matters. But go to OnlyStupidAnswers.com for all of our Patreon info, our merch. Make sure you don't miss out on that back-to-school sale. And everything
You'd
else.
You'd be kicking yourself in between.
I think it's... Can we announce something really quick?
Yeah.
We're going somewhere.
We haven't mentioned this.
We're going to Fantastic Fest this year. So everyone in Austin, if you guys want to, we're planning the meetup as we speak.
Yes.
And we're very excited.
That's
Dude,
sweet.
Fantastic Fest is my Christmas. It
That's
is amazing.
Be so fun.
I am so excited. We're going to watch amazing films, have amazing beer, mostly, and then we're going to have queso and freaking barbecue because it's freaking delicious. Oh, man, I'm excited. And last year we had a meetup, and it was delightful.
Yeah, it was very, very
at
cool.
The Shake
I think
Shack.
It was our first meetup, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really, and the turnout was great. You guys were delightful. That's when we met Danny Boy for the first time.
Yeah.
Hey.
That was awesome. And we will let you know on more details when we get closer to the date. I'm so excited. But let us know if you guys are going or anything else on the social media and whatnot. And we'll see you guys next time.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
See ya.